Our Father in heaven, we would just rejoice this morning that it is finished. It's amazing. May it produce in our hearts a heart of worship and adoration. Yes, sometimes we, as the song said, we still have conflicts and the battle may rage here and there, Lord, but may we always know that it is finished. Hallelujah. We praise you and thank you, Lord. I think of the promise that you said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest for your souls. We thank you, Lord, for such interest and such kindness to the children of humanity, Father, even to us. We thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the work you have wrought in the hearts of these young souls that desire to be baptized today. Lord, we just pray a special blessing upon them and on their day today, that they may see Jesus, Lord, that he's the one that provided the means that they might be saved because of the work that you have done. Just bless each and every one that is here today. Be with us throughout this day, I pray. Lord, and we just pray this morning that you will just guide and direct in the message here today. Lord, you turned the water into wine. You changed it. So we just trust the words that I say, Lord, you're able to minister truth to our hearts, that which we stand in need of. We pray, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a Christian greeting to each and every one this morning. God bless you for coming and worshiping with us here today. You know, we're here in body, but are we here in spirit? Are you here? The reason I asked that recently, about a week ago, I had a conversation with a man, and we were talking, had a very good talk, and he was sharing some of his experiences along life's way, and he said there was a time that he was raised in church, but there was a time that he didn't go to church anymore. And one thing that turned him off, he says, was when he said they had a good many mothers that would come to church with their children, but the dads wouldn't come. He says, so then they put up screens in the church. He said the dads would stay home and watch the ball games. So they put up screens in church so it would be, so the dads would come to church. The men would come to church, that way they could watch the ball game. And those that want to listen to the message or participate in the service, they could participate in the service. So he said, I said, well, I never heard of that. He says, yeah. He said, that's when it just turned him off. You know, and I said, well, you know, that sounds like idolatry to me. You know? And we shared like that. You know, then after I left and I was on my way, and the Lord just spoke to my heart. He says, you know, you don't need a screen in church to be viewing something else. You can just do that right in the bench where you're at and have your minds on other things rather than about who it is all about. It's about Jesus. right? It's not about me or my programs or what I have going or my interests. When we come, it's about Him, the house of worship. So, you know, the Lord just spoke to me. That's, yes, you know, He sees at the heart, does He not? So are you here this morning? Have you come to worship Him? Well, today is the baptismal service, and I thought this morning, today, I would just share some things from God's Word in relating to baptism. So I guess for the title, or if you need something to put on for the title, you can just call it the baptismal service and put the date on. That would be all right. My text I will take out of Matthew 28, 16 to 20, and Mark 16, verse 14 through 20. So we'll just turn to Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Familiar passage here. Starting in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here Jesus, the 11 disciples, I guess there was a, I think in verse 10 it says, Jesus said unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. And that's exactly what they did. They obeyed. And I thought, that's interesting. You know, the blessing of obedience. Jesus told them where to meet them. This was after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, after He said, it is finished. And He told them where to meet Him, and they were there. It says, and when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. That's the way it is this morning. This service is about Him, not about me or anyone else. It's about Him and His Word. The blessing of obedience as they saw Him. And what an exciting time and encouragement that was for the disciples. And here then He gives them further instructions. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You know, so why baptize? Why be baptized? It's really just a pretty simple answer, isn't it? Because Jesus commanded so. Jesus commanded to be baptized. Now we'll turn to Mark 16. Verse 14. Afterwards He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These things shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Here he says, again, the charge was given. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Again, why be baptized? Just simply because Jesus commanded so. What is the gospel? He says, go preach the gospel. What is the gospel? In the scripture, it's called the gospel of the kingdom. It's called the gospel of God. It's called Christ's gospel. It's called the glorious gospel. And it's called the gospel of peace and glad tidings. Luke 4:18, this was the first time that Jesus came back 40 days in the wilderness, being tempted of the devil, the time being out. Now he comes back to Nazareth. He goes into the temple. They gave him the scriptures to read. He opens it up to Isaiah, and he said unto them, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Set at liberty them that are oppressed by the devil. That's what Jesus is. That's the gospel. Paul says in Romans 1:16, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Then in Romans 5, I had to think of these, also the words of Paul, thinking of the gospel. What is the gospel? But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The gospel is a message of hope. The gospel is a message of restoration back to God. Speaks about reconciliation. There needs to be a reconciliation because there was a transgression. There was a transgression. Who transgressed? You did, and I did. We all transgressed. We can say Adam did. Yes, he did. But we don't have to go back that far. We just have to look in our own hearts. We transgressed, didn't we? Transgression brings a penalty upon all men, everywhere, all men and women. And that penalty is separation from God, which is condemnation. So the breach has already been made. The gospel of good tidings was that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And now he came to restore you and me back to God. He's the one that bore the stripes, as it says in Isaiah 53. He's the one that bore Well, he went as far as death, the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. You know, and he did that. Why did he do that? Because God is just. You know, and with a transgression, there needs to be justice. And justice was meted out on Jesus Christ instead of you and me. You know, we'd have a judge in town who would just let the criminals go, those that transgress the law. We'd have a judge like that in the court systems. And he'd just say, well, you know, I'll let you go. After all, you know, I'll just forgive you. You seem like a pretty nice guy. I'll let you go. He wouldn't be a just judge. People would rise up with anger, say it's time he gets out. Why? Because he wouldn't be just. You know, when there's an offense done, it calls for justice. And that's what the judge in our courts do. If they do, so much more God has to do that. When there's a disobedience, when there's a transgression, justice has to be meted out. And it was meted out on Jesus Christ. Yes, he bore our transgressions. You know, that's the good news of the gospel. That's the gospel message, that it is finished. He did it. I don't forget the story that Brother Joe Berge said to the children one time about a king, you know, who had a kingdom, and his people were wicked. They just got more wicked. And he said, something has to be done. This wickedness has to stop. So he made a law and said, anybody that transgresses this law, his two eyes shall be put out. So everything, you know, people really wanted to straighten up. But who transgressed? The first one to transgress that commandment that he gave was his own son. Now all the people in his kingdom thought, now what's the king going to do? His son transgressed. Will he just let his son go? Everyone wanted it. Everybody came to the court to hear what the king's verdict would be. Yes, two eyes have to be taken out. It says, one out of my son and one out of my eye. Isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that what God did? He took it out on his son, didn't he? Let's not forget that. That should overwhelm us with thanksgiving. He did that, as it says here, Romans. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Because he lives. You know, and he's told the disciples, I'm going to be with you until the end of the age. He lives today. And dear young people, do you that are being baptized, you need to remember that. He lives. He's interceding for you, and he's able to help you. The gospel of Jesus Christ, he says, go and preach, calls for a response. It says, he that believeth. No, you can either believe it or don't believe it. And I had to think of Corinthians 1. It says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Yes, it calls for a response to those that hear. And all of you that are here today, if you've been saved, it's because somebody preached the gospel to you. Somebody shared it with you. And that's what we're to do. Preach the gospel to every creature. And it calls for a response. The blessing of believing the gospel is what? It says they shall be saved. It's salvation. But what about, is there a blessing on doubt and unbelief? What's the blessing on that one? It's no blessing, isn't it? We just remain in our condemned state because that is the condemnation that rests on the whole world. It says in John 3:17-19, Jesus said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." See, he's already condemned. The whole world stands in condemnation outside of Jesus. So Jesus is the source of hope and being reconciled back to God and salvation. It says, "Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." These are the words of Christ. Revelation 21:8 says this, "But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." No, there's no blessing there for unbelief to remain in our proud state. You know, that I'm not willing to acknowledge my transgression. Like our Sunday school lesson was, David, you know, the humility. He says, "I am willing to acknowledge my transgression." That's where it begins, is it not? You know, to receive this blessing of forgiveness. Acknowledge we have transgressed. That takes humility. So there are some that, yes, just won't believe, won't receive it. So it says, that our text says, "He that believeth." What does this mean? What does it mean to believe? Well, we could talk about that for 30 minutes, but we won't. Does it just mean a mental acknowledging the facts are true? Is that what it means? You know, James chapter 2 speaks of a dead faith, does it not? It speaks of a dead faith. It says there, you know, that the devils even believe and tremble, but it doesn't do them any good, doesn't get them anywhere. So it says there that likewise it's a faith that is a faith without works. It is dead. It doesn't get you anywhere. You know, when you have a car, the engine is dead. Neither does a car get you anywhere. The engine is dead. Even though it might have a transmission in it, it might have four wheels on it, you might have the keys, but as long as the engine remains dead, it's not going to get you nowhere. That's the way this dead faith doesn't move us. It doesn't produce nothing in our lives. For an illustration, I thought of a parachute. You can believe that a parachute is made and designed to save a person when he jumps out at 8,000 feet in the air. He jumps out of their airplane. But it is quite another level of confidence and trust when that parachute is strapped on your back and you face the open door and you jump out. That's another level of confidence, isn't it? That is a belief or a faith that is alive, that acts upon, that you act upon. You know, probably many of you here today, when you were young, you always believed in God. You believed in Jesus, didn't you, Abner? You probably always believed in Jesus, didn't you? Yeah, that's right. I did when I was young. You know, I believed in Jesus. I believed that he died. I believed that God created the world. And that's good and well. And it's important, you know, to teach our children that. It is very important. But it wasn't until I was 21 that I cried out to Jesus to save me. That was when I was like stepping out on that airplane with the parachute strapped on my back. I took that leap of faith, and I trusted him for my sins, which were many, and I trusted him And he saved me, and the joy and the peace that filled my heart that day. Hebrews speaks of, it says, believeth. Now the just shall live by faith. We are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's the type of faith that is alive. To the saving of the soul. The Greek dictionary would speak of it this way. We are of that persuasion, the assurance, moral conviction, reliance upon Jesus Christ for salvation. Romans 10 would say it this way. With the heart man believeth. It's not just up here, but it's in the heart. You know, you can miss heaven by 18 inches. Just have a mental assent to it. It doesn't really do much to you. You know, it doesn't give you any victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Is it not? It's a heart that rests into persuasion in the heart. It's something that is really a gift from God, you know, that God trusts in the Lord. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it also says here, we'll look to the next part, and is baptized. Why be baptized? Why should you be baptized? Again, it's not really a hard answer, is it? When we read through the book of Acts, I've noticed more than anything, one thing is, it was a command given to the disciples right here that they should go preach the gospel and baptize. And when they preached the gospel, they also told the people they need to be baptized. They did. Baptism. It's a holy ordinance. It is administered in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and is a visible and public profession of faith in Christ and His salvation, a vital union with Him, of the obligation to live a new life according to His precepts and His service, and of the expectation of sharing in His glorious and heavenly immortality. It is not by any means to be regarded as a regenerating or ordinance, though significant of regeneration. It was established in the Christian church by Christ and His apostles, and is binding on His followers to the end of time. Luke 6 says it this way. Know ye not that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Just a few examples in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, after Peter preached the gospel to the multitude of about, how many? 3,000 or more? What was their response? It says they were pricked in their hearts. They were convicted. Verse 41 says, and they that gladly received His word. You know, there was a change of heart there, wasn't it? They that gladly received His word. There was a change in their response to the message of Jesus Christ as being their Messiah, their Savior and Lord. They gladly received His word. They believed. They were willing to be taught. It says, and they were baptized. Another place, if we don't have time to turn to these, Acts chapter 5, verse 8. Acts 8, verse 5. There it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And it says there, those that believed, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then also verse 35 and 39, that's in the same chapter, in another account with Philip and the eunuch. It says, Philip went out. He asks him, do you know what you're reading? And he says, The eunuch wondered if this is speaking about the prophet or about himself or some other man. Philip opened his mouth and began to the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. It says, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest. Again, think of the words of Jesus Christ. He says, those that believe should be baptized. He asked Philip, if thou believest, thou mayest. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he says, they commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Acts chapter 10, Peter takes the gospel to the Gentiles. We know the story there of Cornelius. His relatives were gathered there with their friends. Philip, Peter preached to them. They responded to the gospel. And he says, what doth hinder these people to be baptized? And they were baptized. Luke, Acts chapter 16, Lydia, a seller of purple. She believed those things that were spoken by Paul. She believed. And she was baptized. You know, so in the same chapter, the Philippian jailer, his cry was after the earthquake, what God did there that night, his cry was, what must I do to be saved? Paul's quick response was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse 32 says, after he spoke the word of the Lord to him and those in his house, says, they were baptized. In all of these, you know, they were open to the truth of God's word. They listened and they believed. We'd also have in chapter 18, Justus, Cyprus, and he was actually a ruler of the synagogue. And it says, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So I will cease there. We have the example there. No, we don't find any record of infants being baptized. Only those that believed. They were baptized. You know, and it was because of that fact that many of our forefathers, the Anabaptists, lost their lives. And I just thought I would page through the martyr's mirror. I was just wondering if I could just find an account where one of this took place. You know, and I did. I just opened it up, and it fell right on a page where there's an account in the martyr's mirror of a young girl and her brother. It says they heard the gospel, they were baptized, opened their heart to the truth of the gospel. And with their steadfast faith, after great steadfastness, they were apprehended. But you were there martyred for their faith. You know, it cost them. We see that in the book of Acts. To follow after Jesus Christ. You know, there's a cost involved. And we see that even today yet in certain parts of the world. They have to baptize in secret. What a privilege we have today that we can go out on a beautiful day like this. Go over to the lake and baptize. Praise God for that. I'd just like to say this in closing. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You dear ones that are being baptized, you've been adopted into the family of God. God is your Father. What manner of love He's bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. Don't forget that. He is your Father. I'll turn the time over to Brother James.